Good morning. It is so good to see each of you today. Welcome back to many of you. Welcome to visitors and everyone online. So glad you're here. My guess is that many of us have been or are angry about people being hurt because of Scripture. If we were to make a list of the real purposes of Scripture, harm would not make the list. It would not be there. So as we think about some of the problems and purposes of Scripture today, I want to say at the very beginning, my sadness and pain at the harm that has been caused from the misuse of Scripture. And let's be real with each other. Scripture can be overwhelming. Yes, I am a pastor, and I can say that Scripture can be overwhelming. I remember when I started reading Scripture as an adult, and I was so confused because I had never been taught in a way that I could understand that there's history and there's poetry and there's this thing called prophecy that I could not make sense of. I got confused on the letters because some of them were addressed to particular people, like ours today, Timothy, and some of them were named for who was sending the letter, and some of them were named for the church that they were sent to, like Philippi. I thought that might be a person's name. Like, I just didn't know. No one had ever explained the Bible to me and how it fit together. And it was all information that I felt like, as a follower of Jesus, I was supposed to know this information. And so what do you do with that? I didn't know it. And I was talking with a couple of people this week about problems with the Bible. And it was a brief conversation, but as I looked back through my notes, I noticed there were three main problems that people shared about Scripture. And we're going to try to address these today. The three problems. One, the Bible is confusing. Two, the Bible seems disconnected from today. And three, the Bible seems untrustworthy. We're going to start with the Bible being confusing. We already know this. The books of the Bible are not in order, and it's better if you start in the middle where the Psalms are, or even better, towards the end where the Gospels are. So we're going to try to see if we can have fun with this today, and I'll show you how Scripture can be confusing. I'm going to need a couple of volunteers, and if it's not your day to do this and I say your name, just stay seated. It's fine. But if I call your name and you're willing to come forward, please do. Paul Lehman, Neil Weaver, Kevin Gertson. And we're going to start with just the two of you. I've got a paper for you. And Paul, I'm going to give you the microphone. Oh, and Kevin, have a seat. We'll come back to you. Okay, thanks. Is it on? Okay.
Speaking of Scripture.
Hello?
Ooh. It might be off still. Okay.
Okay, this is not scripted, by the way.
Right.
Here's an example of the Bible being difficult to understand. I want you to each read in turn, and actually we're going to start with Neil. Read the three sentences, Neil, on your paper, nice and loud, so we can hear.
Okay. I see the dog. I see the dog run. The dog runs with me.
Good. We understand that. Paul, take a turn, and you're going to read your two sentences on your paper, nice and loud, so we can hear.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it."
Thank you, Paul. Reading scripture is different than reading a children's book or the newspaper or a blog or an advertisement. It's different than a comic book or an operating manual. So we're going to need a few more volunteers. So Kevin, if you'll go ahead and come forward. Linda, I see your hand waving. I will try to include you as a volunteer another day. Thank you. I appreciate your enthusiasm. Let's see. Daryl Burt, if you'd be willing to come forward. And I've got papers for you again. There you go. There you go. There you go. Now, each of you are going to read your sentences on your paper. You've got the same, did I give you the right paper? Oh, good. You've got the same one word written on your paper. However, you each are going to say your word with a different emotion. You've got an emotion circled on your paper. That's yours. Think for a minute about how you can say that one word with that particular emotion. We're still thinking about the frustration with Scripture and how it can be confusing. And one of the reasons that Scripture is confusing is because we're reading it instead of hearing it. And so the emotion is taken out. So if you want scripture to make more sense, look for the emotion. We're going to have some examples. Whoever is ready to go, go for it.
Oh!
And this time, say, sorry, I should have prepped you. Say your emotion that you're going to be sharing, and then say the word. It's fine.
I was supposed to be hopefulness or surprise.
Oh. And I'm supposed to be worried and overwhelmed.
Oh! That's joy or excitement. Oh. That's sarcasm. We're just staying.
Thank you, Zion family. You'll stay here. We've got one more. Thank you for your willingness to do this. I appreciate this. Now, that was one word in four different emotions. What about when people have multiple emotions at the same time? And we have how many words? Over 780,000 words in Scripture. So we'll do those. No, I'm kidding. We won't do those. Okay, you can throw your paper down. You don't need those anymore. I'm going to give you one more. This time we're going to try what we just did, but with Scripture. Take a minute to think about how you might say your verse with your particular emotion that you've been given. I'm going to give you some context while they're thinking. These are words of Jesus that they're going to be saying. And the context is Jesus and the disciples. It's the Last Supper. And Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross and feeling all the emotions that he would have felt. And he's getting ready to tell Peter that Peter is going to deny Jesus. And here's what Jesus says. Volunteers, when one of you is ready, tell us your emotion first and then read the verse.
Lovingly, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers.
Grieving and sad. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers.
Steadily confident or secure. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked you to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers.
Tired. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers.
Well done. Thank you, volunteers. You may be seated. We have this habit with Scripture, and it's out of reverence. We read Scripture privately or publicly in a particular way, often slowly, often quietly and inwardly. And our intent is to show honor to Scripture. But actually, what we're communicating is that Scripture is boring. Scripture is not boring. We just read it in a boring way. And actually, what it's communicating is that Scripture is not relevant. This is why we love when Betty Lou and others read Scripture, because they read it with such emotion. The irony is we're trying to elevate Scripture, and in doing so, we degrade it. And it costs our ability to communicate. Think for a minute about Jesus being the Word made flesh. That means Jesus came, the Word made flesh, to communicate, to be relevant. When we miss our communication because we're reading Scripture inwardly instead of looking for the emotion, it actually harms every person here. And I've made this mistake far too many times. If you've done it, you're forgiven also. And we can unlearn what we've been taught. Scripture gets confusing if we don't read it with emotion. We've got to move on to problem number two with Scripture, which is that Scripture seems disconnected from our lives today. And maybe our disconnect is because Scripture is ancient and it grew out of culture very different from ours. Think slavery and having multiple wives. And maybe our disconnect comes from preachers not showing how a passage connects with the present moment. I'm sure I'm guilty of that too. I apologize. Some of us, the disconnect may be because we believe there is an intolerance in the Bible that doesn't align with our worldview. And there's the troubling problem I mentioned early on of people who are Christians using the Bible to exclude, to judge, and to harm people. Some of us do this to ourselves when we read Scripture. So let's think about an analogy. Let's imagine a baker makes an amazing cake, and someone comes along and smashes it. After they smash the cake, they pour vinegar all over the icing, and then they take a hunk out of it and they shove it down our throats. Do we decide all cake must be bad? No one should ever eat cake again? Or can we realize the cake is not the problem? The problem is the way that they are serving it. I'll make this personal for someone. If someone has mistreated you, that doesn't make you bad. You are still valuable and important. If someone says something unkind about you, that doesn't make it true. The cake is not the problem. The problem is the way they are serving it. Here's another possibility for why Scripture can seem disconnected from our lives. There may be many others. We have questions that the Bible doesn't always give us straightforward answers to. So I love that we are in one of Paul's letters, because Paul is one of the first to take Jesus' life and connect it to Paul's life and his current circumstances. Scripture makes the most sense when we look at Jesus' life and connect that and the Scripture to our lives. So when you're reading, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, when you're reading through scripture, read until you get to the tug of something that's curious or confusing or wonderful or terrible, and then think about how that connects to Jesus' life and your own life. And I bet you'll have an epiphany. Paul is teaching us how to take what we know about Jesus and apply it to our lives. And Paul is worried about Timothy and the church at Ephesus because the Roman Emperor Nero is a tyrant and he's persecuting Christians. And Paul's last written words to Timothy and the church are, keep going, be steadfast, remember what you learned from Scripture. And isn't that relevant for many of us today? The last problem with Scripture for today is that the Bible can seem untrustworthy. One of the people sharing with me this week said, when you know something to be right and Scripture disagrees with it, it's hard to trust anything else in Scripture. And that's what we do with people, right? When someone breaks our trust, we put up a wall. And I wish I had more time to learn the specifics this person had in mind, but I think we can get the frustration of the situation. Because each week, churches around the globe put their Bibles up on a pedestal, and we try to understand what it's saying, and we try to connect it to Jesus in our lives, and we try to live it out as best we can. And if you disagree with how the church lives it out, no matter who is right and who is wrong, no wonder we throw out the Bible. No wonder the Bible seems untrustworthy. Why would we risk trusting Scripture when Scripture, right or wrong, seems to disagree with some of our beliefs? Now, there's a lot of threads we can pull on here, and I will not preach for 4 hours. I think the most pressing of these threads to pull on for us today is that we've been mistaught the purpose of Scripture. Here is the direct connection with our passage today. Paul names 3 of the actual purposes of Scripture. So let's sidebar for a minute and take a poll. By a show of hands, how many people here and online hope to be wiser in the future than we are today? Yes. Scripture can give us that wisdom. That's a purpose of Scripture. Verse 15 says, Scripture is able to make us wise. I should have drawn a little line between wise and confusing, so you see this connection between the two. Verse 15 also says that the way that Scripture makes us wise is through faith in Jesus. Reading Scripture can build our faith in Jesus. Many of us have experienced that. So the way through our problem with Scripture seeming to be untrustworthy is to keep reading it. It doesn't mean you have to trust when you begin. It just means that when God does things in your life, you now have a container to put it in. The way through Scripture being confusing is to keep growing, keep going with it, and let it grow our wisdom. And what really caught my eye for us is what verse 17 says. Verse 17 says, a purpose of Scripture is to equip us for every good work. Doesn't that mean that Scripture is connected, therefore, to our daily lives? Would you like to be equipped for something you are going through now? God equipped me in writing this sermon. Each of the problems with Scripture lines up with one of the purposes of Scripture. I didn't plan that. I'm not smart enough to orchestrate that. Which to me shows God's power, which shows God's love. Why would God go through all that trouble lining up the things in this, the problems in this conversation with 3 of the purposes of Scripture? What is it about this particular moment that God is inviting us into? What might happen if 5 or 10 or 50 of us kept growing in wisdom, in faith, and in being equipped by God? My experience would say that it means our joy and our hope get to grow as well. So for every person facing unknowns, for every person who is stuck in shock or back pain or loss or fear or despair, maybe God wants to show us what God showed Paul, that Jesus was by his side giving him strength. If you need a next step with the Bible, choose a gospel and read a little each day. Read until a word or a phrase captures your attention. Reflect on where it connects with Jesus and with your life. Start with a few minutes and make it a habit. Not because we have to, but because we get to. I encourage us to join the women's Bible study this fall or to start up a men's Bible study. May God abundantly grow our wisdom, our faith in Jesus, and our equipping as we read Scripture together. Amen.